Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts.
Splendid Table is brought to you by All the Chickens at Locally Laid Egg Company. Producing high-quality, delicious eggs for over a decade, Locally Laid prioritizes good lives for their hens. Locally Laid Egg Company also partners with rural farmers to keep agriculture clucking along in Minnesota. Locally sourced, locally sold, that's Locally Laid. You can learn more about visiting the flock at the farm's Airbnb at locallylaid.com.
I'm Francis Lamb, and this is Splendid Table Selects, our mini-podcast on the stuff that makes us better cooks and eaters. Our presenting sponsor is Bob's Red Mill. They're an employee-owned company that's offered organic, gluten-free, stone-ground products for decades, and they're experts at making healthy taste amazing. Okay, so you've got some friends coming over for beers after work. You get home, and there it is. Your beer. On the floor of the garage and not in your fridge. You can't even find your bottle opener. You have humiliated yourself. You have brought shame upon your family. Well, Ben Robinson says you're okay. We're gonna fix this and you can pick yourself up, sport. He's the author of Beer Hacks, 101 Tips, Tricks, and Projects. And Sally Swift got the pep talk.
So Ben Robinson is joining me in the Marketplace studio today in New York City, and he has brought in some props. Ben, great to have you here.
Hello.
Not often that we have beer come into our studios.
One of the nice things about writing a book called Beer Hacks is that it allows you to bring beer into classy recording studios very early in the morning and actually have people be happy instead of question you deeply.
That's great. I am happy you're here. And I kind of want to start with your most primal hack, if I can call it that, which is cooling the beer down. You have a number of options to cool down the beer, and you know which one I want you to talk to me about.
So I'll talk about the one that I've experimented with greatly and decided for safety purposes that we probably shouldn't do here in a studio full of expensive equipment.
Today. Right, which is slightly disappointing, but we are deferring to our engineers. So,
over my basically year of accumulating and testing hacks, realized immediately that if you don't have a cold beer, you don't really have anything to do with yourself. Yeah. Getting them cold is crucial. And there's a number of ways, but the most elaborate and exciting and loud and quickest, in just about 10 to 15 seconds, you can get a beer cold using a fire extinguisher.
I mean, that is an exciting thought. So talk me through it. It has to be the right kind of fire extinguisher, right?
The fire extinguisher that you hopefully have in your house, because you are a safe individual, is almost definitely the wrong fire extinguisher. I found that out through my testing as well. I went out back, sprayed down a warm beer with a bunch of foam from a fire extinguisher, picked it up. It felt the same temperature as before, but I opened it up and tasted it anyway. And I may have slightly poisoned myself because that's the kind of fire extinguisher that's full of chemicals.
Right.
So I then searched around, found the more industrial, you'll often find them in kitchens. They're safe to put out fires in kitchens. Mm-hmm. And it's a much larger, I think it was about 60 pounds, CO2 fire extinguisher. And it shoots out essentially liquid CO2 with a resounding noise. So,
Nice. But
you pop it in there, they actually generally have this large cup to direct the CO2 out, and you can just drop the beer right in there. It's almost as if it was custom designed for it, and you blast it, and 15 seconds later, that thing is ice cold, everything evaporates. You've left no trace of the shenanigans.
Wow.
And, you know, you made, I think, the right kind of scene.
That is
hopefully
unbelievable. Now, for people who really will not take that on, are there some other ways to cool beer down quickly?
Definitely. They take a little longer, but an easy one that anybody can do is get, you know, maybe 4 or 5 paper towels, get them wet, wrap them around the beer, put it in the freezer for about 10 to 15 minutes, depends on the size of the beer.
Yeah.
And then you just take it out and
that's drink, a good idea.
Drink your beer.
That's a good idea.
Another fun one that's a little more science-y that I've been doing for years is you get a bucket of some kind, fill it with cold water and ice and a ton of salt, which will make the water get colder than it would just with the ice. And you just spin it around for about, yeah, again, depends on the size of the beer, but maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes, and your hand will be absolutely freezing, but that shows that it works.
There you go. Okay, so our next big issue is, what do you do without a beer opener?
Yes, there's all sorts of ways that you can do this. They're all essentially based on the same principle of creating a lever of mm-hmm. some kind and using a fulcrum to wedge the bottle off the top,
right.
Much like an opener in some
ways. So those people at rock concerts that use Bic lighters to open it. It's
exactly.
Essentially that. Okay.
Yeah, so the Bic lighter is one that a lot of people know. There's generally one somewhere around.
Right. Wedding ring, right?
You can also use your wedding ring. Although gold is a little tricky because gold is a very soft metal. So you do want to be careful. But
there's also, I've seen people do it in a door jam, right?
You can do it in a door jam. If it's the right kind of door jam.
Okay.
I don't think that you should, you know, build your home around being able to open beers in your door jam. But if it fits, that's great. A really fun way that you can use as something of a bar bet as well is to say, I bet you I can open this beer with a piece of paper.
Okay, so Ben has in front of him a basically 8.5 by 11 sheet of copy paper that he's folding in half. And now you're folding against printer paper.
Yeah, so you know what that does is gets the paper to a certain level of thickness that it will allow you to create that wedge.
So Ben has folded the paper into a piece that's about 1 inch wide by 3 inches long and just made it really, really stiff.
I think that's very accurate.
Okay, good. And then now tell us what you're going to do.
And so you wrap your hand around the neck of the bottle of the beer as a right-handed person. I'm using my left hand. Your pointer finger, your trigger finger, is going to be your fulcrum. And then you push up on that at the same time as you're pushing up on...
Unbelievable.
Hopefully the mic picked up that...
Unbelievable.
Crisp, beautiful hiss.
Wow, that was impressive. So I want to ask you a beer serving question.
Please.
Is there an all-purpose beer glass like there is an all-purpose wine glass?
So interestingly, the beer glass that you will see the most, especially at bars, which is the flat shaker glass, which doesn't really have
the
any definition
looks,
to it, as it comes out, is actually not one of the better glasses to drink beer out of. They were originally used as cocktail shakers, like the other half of the tin that somebody will shake up a drink for you in. So they were in a lot of bars, and they're cheap to produce, and people would use them. But they do have a number of problems, one of them being that they're generally quite thick, and the thickness of the glass will actually suck out some of the frigidity of the beer.
Oh.
So the thinner the glass, the more you're going to be able to temperature control. And there are certain beers that you want to drink warmer.
Right.
Big stouts and barley wines and kind of heavier beers like that actually work better at a warmer temperature. But you want to be able to control that. You don't want the glass determining that.
Okay.
I like a tulip-shaped bulb glass that you'll see a lot of Belgian beers poured in. With a little bit of flair at the top, which also allows the flavors to be released.
Yeah, and they are thinner.
They're thinner.
And they sit well in your hand, if I may say.
Exactly. And they look cool.
Yeah, they totally look cool.
But you can use a wine glass in a pinch, that all-purpose wine glass that you mentioned. They definitely work. They have a lot of the same properties. And, you know, one of the things with a wine glass is that it has a stem and you hold the stem so your hand isn't all over the beer.
Right. That's what you're supposed to do. People don't understand that.
They really don't.
Yeah, that is what a stem is for. Okay, my last question. You know, when you get a beer poured in those frozen glasses that are pulled from the freezer, mm-hmm. how do you feel about that?
Badly. I feel badly about that.
They look so cool.
The idea of having an incredibly cold beer is one, and I will state that everybody should drink whatever kind of beer they like at whatever temperature they like that beer. But the colder the beer, especially when they're truly frigid, it doesn't allow the flavor of that beer to really get to you. And so that's one problem. Another problem is the condensation from the ice crystals that mm-hmm. are melting in there and just the ice turning into water.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's a small amount of them, can water down your beer. Also, those refrigerators, I've worked in multiple bars and restaurants.
You clean
a lot of things in bars and restaurants, but you're not generally
your freezer.
Getting in there at the end of the night and scrubbing down the fridge on your hands and knees.
Okay, that's a good point.
I would say avoid, but if you like your beer, especially your light beer, like absolutely blazing cold, then go for it. Like it's all about what you like. And you know, I think that there's a lot of beer snobbery out mm-hmm. there. And this book it's not meant to combat that in any way, but I think that it hopefully gives people a push towards enjoying something they already like a little better, which is hopefully something that we can all get behind.
Yeah, I learned something new in this book. It's great.
Only one thing.
I learned more than one.
100 hacks in here, Sally.
I learned more than one. Ben, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Ben Robinson is the author of Beer Hacks, 101 Tips, Tricks, and Projects. Sally Swift is our managing producer and fearless leader. And Ben also shared some of his beer cocktail recipes with us. You'll find them at splendidtable.org. And while you're there, if you're in the Oktoberfest mood, check out Andrea Sloniker's recipe for Pennsylvania Dutch hard pretzels, too. Huge thanks, as always, to our presenting sponsor, Bob's Red Mill. Once baking season rolls back around, remember that Bob's Red Mill is a great source for all your baking needs, from whole grains and flours to foolproof gluten-free baking mixes. Bob's Red Mill has you covered. For more information about all their products, visit bobsredmill.com. Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, please tell your friends and leave us a review. And until next time, I am Francis Lamb.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.